The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, two out of the broom closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each episode, Elvira and Deb will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures, and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Deb, take it away.
Oh, well.
All right. Thank you, Nagashiba.
Thank you. Here we go. Yes.
Yeah. So this is Deborah Voith. I'm here with Elvira Love and Nagashiba Ironwood. And tonight, for this month's theme of gratitude for the dead, tonight we will be talking about creating a witch's brew of gratitude. Mm. But first of all, kind of start out by just, you know, updating, like, what have we been up to over the past week? Let's see. My time has been interesting. much of my past week has been somewhat in line with our month's theme of gratitude and gratitude for the dead. I feel like November is also a time of like finishing our business and a time of squaring like the inner and outer accounts that require our energy. And so it's going into a time of completion with the recent, you know, which is New Year. Celebrating what's been, and then focusing on moving forward. And so I am just about at the end of, I'm closing down my little cabin in the woods, which is really just an old 1950s or 60s mobile home that was, that we repurposed and raised the roof on. And just, you know, just saying goodbye to the North Woods for a few months. I woke up this morning and there was a light dusting of snow on the ground. And then I walked through the forest and I walked through and I said goodbye to all of the trees and to all of the forest spirits. Then after we leave tomorrow, I'll kind of go back into my usual routines and catch up on orders, a couple of them I got in the queue. And I'm also looking forward to celebrating with family, one of my grandchildren's birthdays on Saturday.
Ooh.
yeah. And so this past week I've been meditating more. And being in touch with their gratitude for the dead. So I feel like I have been listening to the voices of my ancestors. And so in kind of my homage to November with its very gray skies of completion, I'm feeling this actually clears the way to the birth of some inner and outer light in December. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of people say that November is the month sacred to the Archangel Raphael, who is the angel of healing. And for me today, meditation really has seemed to be the right medicine.
Mm-hmm.
For me this past week. How mm-hmm. about you, Elvira?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I've had a lot of personal things come up for me this last week that were about challenges and things that were, it's like releasing. And it's interesting, I guess the concept of the sacred dead or, our beloved dead. I have an ancestor altar. I also have a descendants altar, and I view them. So it's like I say hello in the morning and good night at that time, but I actually just finished putting up my Thanksgiving things, and I found some lights that I had. They're little orange balls that look cute, and so I put them up, and they make me think of, the light coming in as opposed to what has gone. And like you, it's, my time has been being with my dogs and, hanging on in my recliner and just letting them be with me and being quiet and being still. And it's, depending on what happens, I don't necessarily formally meditate as much as I used to, but I just let things kind of move through. And I do my yoga and my yoga stretches, and I do them with thought and purpose. I try to make sure I'm present. And I think that's, when you say closing down, it's I've closed down a lot of my external energies to be at a certain time at night to be present with it. But there's just a lot of things that are rolling around activity wise. But and it's gotten cold. So, I actually have begun to think about, when I wake up in the morning after I check the water, because obviously we're supposed to let it drip when it goes below 30 or 32. And I do, but I make sure I go out and I stand in the brisk cold air. I don't mean I spend like 2 hours in it, but I make sure because it's almost like it awakens all of my little neurons and energies and things in a different way. And I mean, we get so accustomed to the idea of being cold and cold, and we want to be warm and that. But I actually have gotten a new routine, and I guess that's what I've been doing literally for the last week is recalibrating a lot of things around my personal life, which is good. And this particular topic has been really interesting because how can you say you have gratitude for someone who you love, you've lost because they've left the planet, the plane. But there are so many things you can find in that. And that's what I've been doing with the people that were very significant in my personal life. So that's what I've been doing.
It just seems that November just seems like a natural reflection type of a month.
Definitely, definitely. And it's, I know there's, I think the hardest thing I'm having a heart, and I'm going to mention it now because then we won't have to mention it anymore, is, unless you want to. I have had a hard time with the fact that everywhere, not just commercially, but everywhere, everybody's putting Christmas stuff up. And, it's kind of like, rushing to get to Christmas, to get to December, to get to that time. And I really do understand why, because so much has happened and so many things have been devastating people, and they want to feel happy, and they know that Christmas is been that go-to time frame. And yet I realize that Of course I want that. I mean, both of us, I was born in December, and so obviously Christmas is a big thing to me. But there's this other part of me that wants to savor like the gratitude, the thankfulness of things that even if they appear as losses, that you had them, actually you had them to lose. You never had them, then you would never, it's kind of like, oh, well, I don't see why that would matter. But I mean, there's certain things that you appreciate more because you did have them. I mean, the dogs we've lost, the people we've lost, the different things that we have transitioned through. I don't know. I felt I and it's I have to walk into stores and just look at it and go, not my place here, not my wheelhouse. I'm in Thanksgiving. I'm in this mode, that kind of thing. Anyway, so now that I've said it, we can go on. I just it was a pet peeve of mine, and it's gotten worse over the years when they've jumped it for commercial reasons. But I think this year it's just I'm seeing people out there putting their things out because they so want to feel some kind of happiness and joy that they have felt has left and they are empty with. So
That I'm feeling you. That's it's an interesting time. It definitely is a transition time. So I guess we should just, dive on into to the topic, which is a witch's brew of gratitude. And so just to start out, I'm kind of gonna start with, defining like what is gratitude. And if I only look at just like the standard definition, the standard definition is the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for, and to return kindness. And so, I mean, that's not bad as a, standard definition, but I think that gratitude is so multifaceted, and it's like, why does it seem to naturally flow from us, like just burst from us some days, and then on other days, just doesn't. And so, gratitude is many things, and I'm going to try to just kind of fly through what some of those things might be, and hopefully I make sense. But we'll see. So, gratitude, but it can be a choice. We can make up our minds when we wake up in the morning to choose gratitude. It can be choosing to have a positive mindset. It can be adopting the thought that each new day is a gift. It can be focusing and giving energy to those things that foster and create a positive mindset. It can be a state of thankfulness when acknowledging the blessings in our life. And a sense of gratitude is more likely to filter, much more likely to filter through our hearts, not our heads. And sometimes I forget that because my ego will sometimes have me thinking that if I can just figure out the steps and the right way of getting it, then I'll have it. That for me definitely does not work. When we choose gratitude and authentically embrace it, it really can be like flipping a switch. It's I believe it like gratitude is a spiritual state that needs to be fostered and nursed. And if it's not, it can atrophy. And we get, when we get too much into our heads, into the material world, and into our egos, it can be very hard to access that sense of gratitude. And, you know, we can, we might get into that state and come to realize that we consciously or unconsciously had chosen to walk on the dark side of the street.
Right.
Doing that, it prevents us from seeing someone smile at us, or maybe it prevented us from hearing the birds sing, or the wind rustling through the leaves.
Right.
And sometimes, it usually doesn't happen this automatically, but sometimes if we flip the switch, we can be in that moment of what is now, and get it. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it has to be nurtured, and there's not an instantaneous sense of gratitude. Sometimes we have to kind of retrain those neural pathways. And so the opposite of gratitude is resentment, entitlement, and blame. And these states of negativity are really like a spiritual virus or a cancer that can eat away at our souls. And I know some out there might say, but what about the justified resentments and the justified blame? But, you know, the thing is the secret is that even if it's justified, if you keep it, the longer you keep it, the more it poisons you. And so, you know how they say with resentment that it's like ourselves, it's like us drinking the poison and expecting the other person to die.
Right.
You know, so there's different ingredients that can possibly, you know, help us to make this witch's brew of gratitude. And some, you know, the first one I think is making a choice, because even if we in no way in the flying world of monkeys do we feel any sense of gratitude at that moment, we can actually choose to make a choice to foster gratitude, and it will build, but you have to want it. And I know the reason that I've wanted it most is when I look at other people who are really in that sense of gratitude, I can see in their eyes that they're really feeling it and that they are in a state of being spiritually awake. And it makes me want that.
Right.
And so, and you know, there's a few other ingredients, and it's not I am Newt. But I think I'll talk about some of the other ingredients after I give you a chance to kind of tune in, chime in, and some of your thoughts about gratitude, Elvira.
Oh, well, you know, I looked up, you know, when we talk a witch's brew of gratitude, I looked up brew, you know, and what a brew is. Okay, and it's a mixing of ingredients together and then preparing as an infusion with, you know, water or, you know, that kind of element, which if you look at it, water is emotion. So if you take the ingredients that you just mentioned one, but if you take these ingredients and then you infuse it with your emotion, your heart, you know, then I see that as how you make the brew. And, you know, the element of gratitude is what we are focusing on, you know, in terms of that. And I like how you said, you know, that, thank you, that, you know, the idea is that you know, blame and you justify, and then you keep it longer. It's it's the, bitter brew and the bitter aspect of it that you tend to enhance. So I'm sitting here looking at that going, oh my God, that's great, because that really fits with where I'm seeing these things. And I mean, the ingredients obviously are, there are many ways and many things to talk about them, but I honestly, and I'm going to say this because I was sitting here going, okay, if you have ingredients, I mean, there are physical ingredients like, an herb or a stone or a whatever, or you have, what are the other aspects of, and I was thinking of the senses, which is touch, taste, smell, and sight. And so if you take aspects, things that are part of that, like you were saying, you can see the light in the person's eyes when they've got the gratitude, and that's what you want to, and you want to enhance in yourself. It makes you want to go there. And I was looking at that and thinking, well, what is it that we could take that could help us, get to that point? And I mean, obviously, we've done other shows on gratitude and different things, which I'm sure, people can go back and, listen to. But this particular thing is like, just like I said, I go out in the morning and the crispness of the air, it's not about trying to avoid the cold, for whatever reasons. It was about enhancing that aspect of feeling, not just of feeling the emotion, but tactile feeling of that cold on your physical body. And somehow there's a sense for that moment, you're grateful. You're grateful for being able to feel that and experience it. And the same thing, in terms of, sharing, talking to someone, you're hearing them, you're communicating with them, you're caring about them, and as well as the chirping of the birds. I mean, we have all of those convenient things. So that's kind of my take on, what it is, and we're talking about a brew of gratitude and what it means to me. And I'm going to turn it back to you because I want to know more about the ingredients.
Yeah, there's well, there are a number of great ingredients. The first ingredient I named is choosing it, and acting as if is a good start. Other things could be maybe some powerful and positive affirmations to set you off in a different frame of mind. Another thing is like giving and not having any expectations. Expectations. Expectations have gotten me into trouble so many times that it's like I should know better by now, but I still once in a while slip into that whole expectation thing, and then it's like, yeah, no, that's not really doing it. It's taking me in the opposite direction. And then, just I think realizing that we are powerful manifestors and realizing that we are the architect of our reality. And so we are constantly creating, but we really need to get in touch with, are we creating by design or are we creating by default? And so I think that that's the difference between taking action and reacting. And taking action is always a much more powerful position to be in. We can, so if I kind of like hone down into like the more core ingredients for my witch's brew of gratitude, which I know that there's more than these, but the four that I kind of most went with was number one would be emotional intelligence. And by that, I mean, for me anyway, I'm talking from my frame of reference, is me avoiding going on what I call emotional benders. It's like taking a drink and not knowing how long you're going to be drunk. It's like, no emotional benders. No. The next one is spiritual connectivity. So like being in touch with your beliefs and your values. And so to me, that's having, especially because I've been in a lot of AA meetings where we're talking about the 11th step, which is establishing a conscious contact with your higher power. And so that's a real important thing, no matter what your beliefs are. And the interesting thing is it doesn't matter actually what your beliefs are. All that matters is that you do have some form of belief and that you are able to connect to it. Because I was sitting in a meeting a few days ago, and there were 12 of us in there, and every single one of us had a different higher power. But we were all communicating in the same language, which was so awesome. And so I think that, you know, anybody can do that. You just have to have some way to spiritually connect. Another one is physical energy, you know, being as healthy as possible and also being able to center and ground. And then the last one for the core ones I'm talking about is mental clarity. Being able to focus on the positive without getting hijacked by your own old tapes or resentments or any of that other mishmash. You know, it's focusing on the positive and your own personal power of choice. So just having that mental clarity. And so we are getting, we're getting close to the break here. So I'm going to kind of stop here and say, it's time for us to take a little break. We are going to be right back to take a deeper look into creating our own witch's brew of gratitude. So break us away, Nagashiva.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
I think we're back.
We are back.
We're back.
Yay.
We're back. So it's time for us to take a deeper look into creating a witch's brew of gratitude. And Elvira, can you lead us off with some more of your thoughts on what we mean by witch's brew and the incorporation of that wonderful essence, that wonderful magic of gratitude?
Well, it's interesting because it always happens when I'm looking for things, you know, to put down or find or do for one of our shows. I get different people that I have as friends who like to send daily quotes, you know, and daily affirmations. And I will probably start out with, I think you and I already, I mentioned it, but I'll start out with the quote that I was going to give, which is from Ralph Waldo Emerson. And it is, cultivate the habit of being grateful for every good that comes to you, and to give thanks continuously, because all things have contributed to your advancement, and you should include all things in your gratitude. So, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, we're going to say, I'm so grateful for that jerk that just drove in front of me and made a left turn completely illegally. And I could have, you know, and instead of saying I could have, I have to stop. And I was thinking about that going, you know, it takes, and you revision something. You revision it to, I am grateful that that person who did that, those, you know, in whatever illegal or other, you know, dangerous way, they were safe and I am safe. And, you know, because in one way, we look at, you know, an eye for an eye and a tit for a tat and all that stuff. And I just thought that really means you look at something for everything that's happened and you're grateful. And sometimes it is really hard to be grateful for things or situations that have hurt you, or you've been, you know, endangered, or bring you fear. And I think it's, for me, seeing that part of what it is, because then it, you know, I mean, in a way, it wakes you up. It makes you see, oh, I'm alive and I'm safe. Or, you know, oh, the tornado that came over did, you know, some, but we're fine. And, you know, meaning it's kind of weird how that kind of brought to mind the idea of being grateful for everything, even though we are, you know, upset or angry or hurt or scared. But it's about changing that hurt, fear, scare, and saying, I'm alive. I'm grateful I'm alive. I'm grateful that I was able to stop in time or see this person, or that they made it, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, there's so many things that it's hard to say we're grateful for.
That's very well put. I like the example you gave.
It's very consistent with what is happening. I mean, here it's happening like all the time. California, I know it is too, and anywhere else, when people that are driving are just, you know, they're in their own necessity world. But it's part of that. And, you know, the other one that I wanted to share, which, you know, again, was one of those that was from Thich Nhat Hanh, is, walk as if you are kissing the earth with your feet.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you think about it, and I know I mentioned this, so it's a little reiteration, but we wind up running to places. We wind up, you know, stomping, you know, and getting, you know, whatever. We're mad. We stamp on the, you know, the ground because we're angry. and yet, even if we think, in that moment, you know, we're and we have to get here, is that there's a little piece of us that says, even in that, we are kissing the earth quickly, little smacks, bam, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. But it's the idea of, we have an earth to step on. We have feet that work. We have a, you know, we are moving. And I think that one part of it is, you know, really, really important for us to continue to remember, even if we're in a hurry or upset, or, you know, of something that, you know, is off kilter in our life. But yeah, those are kind of the things I wanted to share. There are a couple of others that I may get to or not, but yeah, those were things that brought to mind how we can be present in the moment. I love your four you know, your four main ingredients. I think they are incredible. And, you know, for anything that we take beyond that point of reference is, you know, how do we make that happen? You know, the how-tos, I think a lot of us understand the essences of it, but then, well, how do we do this? And it's without any kind of structure. I mean, as you said, if I do this, I get that, I'm going there, I'm going here. It's like what you're saying about, you know, the mindset that you want to find the way to make it a formula. And I really think that just, I'm going to say this, I have a favorite stuffed animal that I have. It's a little, you know, winged unicorn that my stepdaughter gave to me way back. And she was an adult. She's an adult when I met her and she became part of my life. But she gave it to me when my last husband and I went to Scotland. And see, she's been my traveling companion. But I mean, I hold that. And I, you know, for me, when I do that, I remember the gratitude of not just that event, but just it's soft, it's warm. Do I care if, yeah, that's something that, you know, a five-year-old does? Hell no, I have a five-year-old in here. And that five-year-old likes a little tactile, fluffy, you know, stuffed animal. And because we need that tactile experience to be grateful, because that makes me remember gratitude, not just for the person that did it, but that I'm grateful for this stuffed animal, this, you know, how much it makes me feel that comfort and love and caring of the world and, you know, out there. So I think that finding a, even something like that as a, you know, means to do that gratitude and brew it, so to speak. They always talked about in the concept of brewing coffee and tea. And of course, you know, I'm a coffee person. So it's like, what is it about that? You smell the coffee. It's that you smell it. So, you know, if you think of, again, the senses, the five, you know, the five senses, and of course, you know, we also have, you know, the Sixth Sense, which became a movie, but it's, what is it that lifts your heart? You know, is there a smell, the touch, like my stuffed animal? Is there a sound? Is there some kind of feeling that comes? You know, these are the, you know, and they're very, we can give examples from our own lives, and, you know, but they become personal, a very personal way of being, of showing gratitude. I absolutely, and I've mentioned this before, it is so much more fun, is literally opening doors for people. I literally will run quickly to a door when I'm watching someone try to go in or out with, you know, whatever it is they're holding, to open that door and look at them, look at me and go, thank you. And, you know, just know that I helped, you know, that moment of gratitude they're showing for saying that, even if that's just a cursory thank you, you can see how that affects them, but it affects me that I could have that little bit of encounter with another piece of humanity that then smiles, even if it's just that little bit that they smile when they say thank you. What do you think?
You know, I think that that's interesting, because some sources that I've read, and I kind of agree, is that a lot of gratitude is generated from outside of ourselves. And so I would say having that material object that you have so many associations with that connects you to that feeling of gratitude is one of them. You know, the other one is that, you know, opening the door for that other person and seeing their appreciation reflected in their eyes or their body language is another thing. And I think that that is very vital, you know, to, you know, the other thing is like that whole thing, like with having a higher power, I think makes it a lot easier to connect to gratitude. And it, because otherwise we just, I mean, we have power, but then we just have our own power. But if we are able to connect to a higher power, then we have a lot more power, because we not only have our own power, we have that power outside of ourselves. And so I always say to people that in any of my, you know, classes about talking about deity and spirituality and higher power, you know, and people often are kind of confused of like, who am I connected with, you know? And what I say is, you know what, get really quiet and think about the times where you've been maybe in a really dark place or in a place where you felt really helpless. Think about if you said any kind of a prayer at that time, who was it that you were praying to? And that's your answer. That's your answer.
Right.
And so, you know, just being able to connect to that. So I think it's, so those are those things outside of us that we connect with in and get that feeling of gratitude. It's like reflected back at us. But I think that also on the inside, there's that whole, I think, maintaining our physical, emotional, and mental balance is often contingent on the maintenance of our own spiritual condition. And so, you know, maintaining our spiritual condition is like working out every day. You know, the same way we plan and structure routines, you know, whether we're planning for a marathon or swimming laps or jogging or doing yoga, the concept of staying in good shape spiritually, and this can take on many different forms, you know, by different people. But I know for me, like the core meat and potatoes of that spiritual conditioning for me is usually involves prayer and meditation. So I believe that when we seek spiritual connection in a conscious contact with spirit or a higher power, when we have that connection, then it will kind of naturally and organically shift our emotional, mental, and physical states into a of being into balance. Yeah, and so I always, you know, I know a lot of people have heard this, you know, because it's a commonly circulated thought. But that whole thing of praying is talking to my higher power. And meditation is listening. And so if I have a higher power that I am praying to and then also meditating, I can use it as an ongoing dialogue, which is prayer, and an ongoing action of listening, which is meditation. And so that really helps me to be centered, because I think, and my whole inner dialogue is changing then at that point, because it's not when I only have myself as my power, you know, which I can generate a lot of power, but my inner dialogue is totally different. It's very self-contained. It's very self-centered, because it's only within myself.
Right. Exactly.
So when I am doing that, you know, I am able to create that dialogue where I am communicating. You know, I do have a conscious contact. And that really does, the more that I do it, the more that those pathways, those spiritual pathways and neural pathways, you know, reorganize my body and my essence and my being and my energy. And then pretty soon it's, you know, it just kind of all falls into place then. And you know, it's sometimes I move away from it. Sometimes I'm not grateful, and I'm being, you know, I'm stamping my feet and pouting and not liking what's going on. And you know, and those are the times that I've got to kick myself in the pants and know that not everybody is going to agree with my spiritual beliefs. Not everybody's going to agree with me all the time. Not everybody's going to agree with my politics. Not everyone's going to, you know, think that I'm just this wonderful, you know, ray of light, you know, and that's okay, because, you know, what other people think and believe is very much up to them. And it's where I get into trouble, and I really end up breaking away from my gratitude and my spirituality, is that is where I start getting concerned about that whole material thing, about like, well, what does that person think? Like, who gives a flying monkey? You know, it's just like,
right.
And so so I think it starts out with making a choice, and then doing whatever you can to nurture and foster and take care of that gratitude, and to allow it to build up within ourselves. It's like insurance. It's like the more you do it, the more, you know, when you're going through the rough times and you're not as much in touch with your gratitude, you actually probably still have a fair amount of it, because you've built up the insurance for it.
I like that. I like that. That's cool. Yeah. And I also like how you talked about, you know, prayer and meditation, you know, being, you know, talking and listening, and just like your in-breath and your out-breath, you know, one of the things that, well, my father was into, you know, he did Reiki therapy, but it was about breathing. And then as I got into more of the spiritual aspects and different things I did, is about in-breath and out-breath, and the physical in-breath and out-breath. And the one thing I would tell and still do clients is, you know, whatever's going on, step away. If you have to go to the bathroom, if you have to go outside, you know, and take like 5 deep breaths, you know. And when you do that, you reconnect. And again, the same idea here is with praying and meditating, it's reconnecting. It's that in-breath and out-breath process. And, you know, I think a lot of times people, we make so much more out of it, you know.
I know, I certainly do.
Well, and I do too. I mean, heck, you know, I've got, you know, a lot of that, you know, oh my God, yes, this, and we do that, you know, the theatrics. But it's very like, okay, I need to do this. So I'm going to sit and I'm going to pray. I can just, for a moment, I can just do that. And then, you know, the meditation may be a little longer, but it's like, get centered and listen. And you know, the funny part is that spirit, divine, whatever you're going to call it, talks to you. But what we want it to do is say something in our head, like give us an answer. And instead, you know, I've done that same thing, and I'll walk outside, and I'll, you know, especially in California, where there's always advertising on the sides of buses and cars and things. And there will be something that just drives by, and my eye goes, oh my gosh, you know, because that was the connection, rather than it being a way that we think of it, and the way that traditions that do this have connected it to that experience, because it's all around us. That's the whole thing. It's all around us.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I know, like what I do in my personal life is, I've gotten to know like what are the things that I kind of, the obstacles that I run into frequently. You know, I get to know what those are. You know, I start to identify those. And so then what I do in my personal life is, when I start getting into trouble, you know, I get upset or I feel myself ramping up to an emotional state that I do not want to be in, I just stop. And then, you know, this might be like 10 in the morning. You know, so I kind of use it as a daytime walking around thing. I don't wait until evening to process stuff. I do it right then. You know, so say it's 10 in the morning and my neighbor is doing that thing that really annoys me, or my sister says something rude. So then I just stop right here and I take myself to the side. And this is where that talking and listening comes into play. So I talk to my higher power, and it doesn't matter if it's Hecate, the great spirit in the sky, or Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, I talked to my higher power, whatever face they're wearing. And I say, mm-hmm. I really don't want to be this way. I talk to them like I'm talking to a friend. I'm like, mm-hmm. please take this anger, this outrage, or this fear. Please just take it from me. And so mm-hmm. then I am in conscious contact with my higher power. And at that point, I can tap into that higher power. And then, so combining that power then with my own power, I can take a different action and let those two powers go to work and mingle and amplify. And then I usually go and do something else to take my mind off of it, like
mm-hmm.
dishes,
mm-hmm.
up some clutter. And pretty soon, I'm, you know, onto being in the moment, and the rest of my day is just fine. Where in the past, I might have hung on to that and mm-hmm. recycled it and replayed it over and over and over until it started to really affect me.
Right.
And so I don't, you know, now that I'm getting older, I don't want to waste any more time with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dumb stuff. <You know>?
Yeah.
I just don't. And so I think that, you know, I think that we brought up quite a number of really good practical ingredients that we can use in our witch's brew.
Yes, we
of
have
gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any other things that you wanted to add?
Well, I do, and I guess today has been my day for using quotes as ways to go. But I found another one by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and I love this. A weed is a plant whose virtues have not been yet discovered.
Aww.
And I love that. I mean, it was just like,
yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, you know, I mean, the ugly duckling concept is also brought to mind. And the other one is actually the end of a very long Hopi prophecy statement. But I love this. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
Oh.
So I just, I mean, those two, you know, in terms of, you know, again, being grateful that we are here, and whatever we're doing, we are the ones, you know, that are here doing it, and we're part of this bigger picture. And if we're a weed, we're just
walking the walk.
We're still walking the walk, and we'll find our virtue. It'll come out. It'll be discovered. And I'm just like, my brain just used those two as my last statements on, you know, the whole thing, because what we've been talking about is sometimes it's more personal. So our discussions be personal, because until you, as another person listening to this, hear somebody's personal experience, it, you know, it then will spark you into something in your personal life that becomes the tool that you use, the way to go. And on that, I will turn it back to you, because I know we have our time is coming near or nigh.
It is nigh.
Yes, yes.
Yes, definitely nigh. Okay, I'm going to do quick final thought and then kind of hop into the wrap up. So my final thought is gratitude comes as a byproduct of being mm-hmm. spiritually awake. And so mm-hmm. if we're having trouble connecting to gratitude, most likely, I know in my case, definitely, we need to clear our spiritual vessel and do things that nurture and foster gratitude. So if we're, you know, if we keep tripping over the same thing every day, like my brother's triggering me by saying some kind of BS, or somebody's doing something underhanded or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I see that coming. And so when it comes, you know, pull yourself to the side and do a dialogue with your higher power and mm-hmm. you know, and then listen. And mm-hmm. and then with all the power that you have, do the opposite and just, you know, and just you know, let yourself carry on with the day. Because we can develop it, that gratitude just like a muscle with some time and intention.
Mm-hmm. 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 Wow. So, good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So I am going to kind of begin to wrap up the show here with some contact info first. For readings or root work, you can find Elvira and I on Hulu Psychics and also on AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, which is a mighty fine site. Go check it out. It has tons of information, tons of really, really quality readers and root workers. Yeah, check it out. It is a fantastic site. And then you can also find Elvira online at www.elvira.com. And you can find her at a second place, which is www.milk-and-honey.com. And then you can find me, Deb, on my website at www.bewitchingbee, with a B-E-E at the end of that, bewitchingbee.com. It's just about time for us to say goodbye, and this wraps up the show. But next week, Thursday, we are going to be off for the holiday, but we will feature a fun rebroadcast of Ask a Witch. That should be a lot of fun.
Oh, it'll be a lot of fun. Well,
and then we'll dive into December with some really fantastic topics. Until next time, our magical friends, witch on, witch well, and witch wisely.
Blessed be.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio broadcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Central, and is available for download. Questions or comments on this show, or ideas for upcoming shows, can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.
Naloxone reverses an opioid overdose, even if you mispronounce it. For the record, it's Naloxone. Nuh, like, is Naloxone addictive? Nuh-uh. Lox, like, Naloxone keeps humans safe, like locks keep bikes safe. And own, like, Naloxone can save lives in our very own communities. So let's head down to the pharmacy and pick up some over-the-counter Naloxone. And if you forget the name, ask for the nasal spray that reverses overdoses. They'll know what you mean. Get informed at FactsFightFentanyl.org, sponsored by the California Department of Public Health.